Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, per usual, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good, man. Today, we're going to talk about non-baseball things that need to be on your radar as you go through the recruiting process. And I know you have some thoughts on this, so let's go ahead and hit it.
Sure. You know, we did a podcast a couple of weeks ago, where we talked about things to consider before committing. And the vast majority of the stuff we kind of covered was all of the, all the stuff that you should consider before you actually get into, from a baseball standpoint. Now, you know, a couple of things that I was kind of thinking about as we were, after I was listening back to it, and I was sat there and I was like, you know, there's a couple other things that I think people should, think about when it comes to, you know, some of the questions, that you want to ask yourself or the coaching staff before you commit, right? So one would be, you know, like what type of academic support is in place at the school for student athletes? Like, is there an academic athletic advisor? Is there tutoring available to student athletes? You know, what types of things are in place for practices and games, right? Like pretty much every coach in America is going to tell you, like, you can't miss practice or can't miss class for practice. But games, when you get into the season, like, you know, I know when I was at RPI and we were at Marist, like all of those games were excused absences from class. Like, it's not going to ding you on the syllabus. Like, hey, you know, if there's an attendance policy, if you hit X amount of days, like you could go down a half grade letter. Like, do you have that at your school? Like, what do those types of things look like? You know, what type of training staff do you have? You know, is there a full-time trainer for baseball? Is there, like, what does weightlifting look like? I was just thinking about it when I was listening back to it the other day. I was like, there's a lot more things that, you know, I think outside of the baseball stuff that we could kind of touch on as coaches. And it's not just, you know, just the athletic department world, but like the kind of the other things that, like, you know, maybe they're not the most important thing on your list of things that you want to consider. But when you kind of think about it, like, you know, if there's zero strength coach at the school and school A has no strength coach and school B has three full-time strength coaches, like that could be something that, if that's what you value, like, hey, like this is something that, like, I want to go to a place where I can get in the weight room and develop too. Like, you might lean towards that. So I just kind of thought, like, you know, we could have a quick discussion about what those types of things, and what you could consider there.
I think the support system stuff is really big. And I think it's an important question to ask because, and it may not be the end all be all, and none of this might be the end all be all, but I think it's stuff you want to be informed on, right? Do they have somebody there who's going to help you set your schedule? Who's going to make sure that you're staying on track for your major, that you're taking classes that are going to be valuable to you? Are they going to help you schedule from a time perspective? We all know that scheduling during the season is very different than it is during the fall. If you know your practice windows from 2 to 5, do you have somebody there who is going to make sure that you can get into a specific section of a course in the morning class versus the one that it conflicts with? How are you going to handle when you get into your major? Do you have the flexibility to get your work in outside of that practice time? Because the only section that they offer for your major is during your practice time. Can you stack your courses on Mondays so that you free up Wednesday and Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, your travel days, or days that you're going to travel for games when you get into the weekends? What does that look like? And then the other piece is, I think the strength is really important. Like, and at different levels, it's going to be different. Like, most Division I schools are going to have a dedicated strength and conditioning coach, but not all. Some of it's going to be done by a group of individuals. You get to the Division III level and some of the coaches are going to be the strength and conditioning coordinators. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other, but you just want to have an idea of what does that look like. Some other stuff that I think is really important is, how do you, specifically if you have a major that's unique, right? Engineering, you're somebody who's on the pre-med track, pre-law track. When you start to get into these really specific majors, what your availability looks like, and you can speak to this from an engineering perspective, changes hugely as you get deeper into your classwork. And like, you may not have the ability to miss labs. You may not have the ability to change your course sections. And how has that coach handled that in the past? Right? That's important for you to understand. It doesn't mean that if it doesn't fit perfectly with what your ideal is, it doesn't mean that it's not a fit. It's just that you need to go in with information that allows you to know what it's going to be like when you get to campus.
Right. You know, I think as you were talking too, like, you know, when we were talking earlier, I'd mentioned like preferential scheduling. Like, I don't remember you and I having that at Marist, but it was also, you know, a liberal arts school with a plethora of offerings of classes throughout the course of the entire day. You know, so like we generally, especially during the season, like you're taking more morning classes or night classes. Like, I don't know that I ever really had a class at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or the 3 o'clock, whatever, like whatever that block was for us. You know, but like at RPI, you know, we had preferential scheduling. So our guys were able to, you know, be seniors, and then, you know, athletes would be able to sign up for classes. So it allowed them to be able to set their schedule at a point where they weren't going to be able to, or they weren't going to conflict with games and practices. Now, that said, to your point with engineering and pre-med and pre-law, some of those things were like, you know, that, and it's not necessarily going to be like your freshman, sophomore year, like maybe the back half of your junior year. But like, I did run into this usually during senior year of the spring season. Like, you have that one, you know, 400 or 4,000 level, upper level grad, like class that you need to graduate, that is only offered once at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they can't miss it. You know, so like it can get a little dicey there, but depending on, you know, the day, you know, like for me, for when I was at RPI, like it was generally Monday, Thursday. Like, we didn't really play a lot of Thursday games, if any. So, you know, we're off on Mondays. Thursdays, all right, it's a little bit of a lighter day because it was a super heavy class load day for our guys. You know, so you can work around it, but it's information that you're going to want to know kind of going into it. Like, you know, how many games and stuff would I be missing, or classes? Because, you know, when they start stacking up, you know, if all of a sudden you're missing every Wednesday, like, you might not necessarily do as well in that class. Now, look, like I think since COVID, like, a lot of schools have kind of made a little bit of a shift to cut down on the missed class stuff, like where classes are recorded and you can go in and watch it and do some stuff and you get credit for being there and you're not necessarily falling behind. But, you know, in kind of those specific majors, I think you can get a little bit dicey because there are specific things and classes you need to take in order to graduate. You know, so I just kind of thought, like I said, when we were thinking about what we were going to talk about today, I thought it was something that you could bring up and talk about. And I, you know, I think some of the other stuff is worth mentioning too. Like when you talk to players on the team, like if you go to camp or you have an official visit and you get an overnight, or you're talking to, even if it's just a day visit and you're talking to players, like what's the vibe on campus like? You know, is this a commuter school? Do most people stay? Like, is this a fraternity sorority school? Like, all of those, like, do people live on campus or do they live off campus? Like, we went to a school where a lot of people lived off campus. And, you know, like, and there were a lot of people who lived on campus. It was a pretty even split. But, you know, like, at Siena, when I coached there, like, 98% of kids lived on campus. Like, there was no real off-campus housing at all. You know, so it's things like that. Like, do you want to live on campus for 4 years? Do you want the option to move off if you want to? Like, are you into fraternities or sorority? Like, you know, those types of things that I think do impact your decision, because that is, you know, kind of the social fabric of the school. And if, you know, if you're not a fraternity type kid and you're going to a school that's got a lot of fraternities, like, you might not necessarily fit in there as a kid, because it's not just what you're into. You know, so I think, you know, things like that are worth asking the question and doing a little bit of a deeper dive on some of that stuff and ask those questions, because, you know, it's worth it in the long run, because you don't want to get there as a freshman and be like, wow, man, like, I'm not into this fraternity life. And like 98% of the baseball team is in a fraternity. Like, that might not be for you. And, you know, you'd rather know that before you get there and commit than you do when you get there and you're like, man, I don't feel like I fit in here. This isn't really the place for me. And then you end up leaving with, you know, and look, it's a valid reason to leave. Like, we've talked about this before, but like, you could probably mitigate that by asking some of those questions before you even get to the point of where you commit, things like that. And I think some of the other stuff too, like, there's still schools that are on trimesters, right? Like, that might not be something you want to do. You know, the trimester is like, you're going to be in school longer, you know, like, instead of everyone else is getting out in May, like, you're in school through May and getting out in June, you know? So like, that might not be something that you want to do either. Like, knowing whether or not it's a semester or trimester system, you know, is there a January term, or is there a summer term that you have to take as a student there? You know, those types of things are worth finding out in the recruiting process, because you'd hate to find out when you get there, and they're not baseball related at all. And they could impact your decision, because if one school is telling you, hey, you got to do this the summer going into your junior year, and you can't do stuff like RPI, you have to stay and co-op your junior year. Like, other schools don't have to do that. Like, that might be a deciding factor for you. Now, hey, look, like, it worked at RPI. It was great. Like, guys went and did co-ops and they got jobs and stuff out of them. So like, for them, it was awesome. But for some people, it might be like, yeah, man, like, that's not for me. And that's fine. But you want to know that going in before you make that decision.
The post-graduation stuff is an interesting thing to ask questions about as well, because not everybody's going to play summer ball, right? Do you have the ability to internship? Do they have connections with that? Can you do a 1 month internship during a winter semester? Like, if you're interested in laying the groundwork for what your career is going to look like after college, those are also important questions to ask. Like, what does that look like? Am I able to do it? You know, do I have to go play summer ball, or can I go focus on the weight room and do an internship with a specific company, you know, for,
or co-op.
Yeah.
You know, the co-ops at the Division III level are pretty big. Like, you know, the co-op, for people who don't know, like, you work in the summer, and it's either you work in the summer and work through the fall semester, or it's the spring semester through the summer, you know, and a lot of different companies run them. But, you know, obviously for baseball, like, I never necessarily had a problem with guys doing it. And eventually, like, they had to, but, like, you know, at the time it was only 16 days in the fall. Like, you know, you're not missing a whole hell of a lot, you know, and it gives them an opportunity to, you know, I always thought it was great for them, because they'd go work at these jobs and sometimes they'd come back and be like, yo, awesome, this is what I want to do. This company's great. Like, they're more or less going to offer me a position if, you know, once I graduate. Or it's like, you know, I went and did that and like, I hated it. Like, that's not what I want to do with my life. And they change gears, and it's early enough for them to be able to do it, to go ultimately do what they want to do. And I think that it's an important thing for guys to be able to do. And look, it's a little bit harder at different programs, and it's up to each and every head coach. But I always thought it was great for the kids, because it was like, hey man, like, you go do this. And like, I'd rather, you know, when you're a junior in college, that this isn't what you want to do, rather than you graduate, you go and you're miserable for 2 years trying to find other jobs. Like, you know, change gears now and go do it here. Like, then you can go be happy and do the things you want to do. And then, you know, then they look back on their time with you and doing that, and it's like, yo, I had a great experience. Like, Glass let me do this stuff, and now I'm happy as a clam doing what I want to do out here.
I mean, I guess the moral of the story here is, like, don't leave your recruiting process with questions that are unanswered, right? And it there has to be more than just the baseball component of it. And, you know, if you're trying to play college baseball, it better be really important to you. Because it doesn't matter what level you play, it's challenging. But you also have to plan for the fact that most guys aren't going to make money playing baseball. So you want to get some clarification on what is that support system like? What are some of the opportunities that open up going to this school? And how are you going to help me make sure that my 4 years are as efficient and as effective as possible? And those coaches will have those answers. And if they don't, that's a red flag.
And alumni network too, right? Like, you know, like you can instantly, like you graduate from it. And again, like I always talk about RPI from the standpoint, like I was there for 10 years, right? Like, and the program has been around since like 1836. Johnny Evers was a head coach. Me and Johnny Evers, there's a trivia question for you. Tinkers to Evers to Chance for all of you famous baseball double play combos out there. But there were, you know, like there's a vast alumni network that when you graduate, like, you know, I would get emails all the time from alumni that were like, hey, we're hiring. What chemical and mechanical engineers do you have that might be interested? And, you know, guys that are, you know, we're working in business, like, hey, you know, guy, we're hiring fresh business majors. Like, do you have anyone who might be interested? You just push it out. And it's an easy icebreaker in those conversations. Cause it's like, hey, like you play baseball at RPI too. So did I, like, you know, and it all of a sudden it's a lot more comfortable having those conversations when it's kind of an awkward transition for you in that point in your life. Like, it makes it a little bit easier for you to kind of get your foot in the door and, you know, work your way to where it is that you want to do from your career. And I think, you know, those types of things are super important to be able to kind of to discern. Like, you might not think it's important when you're 17 or 18 years old going through this process, but when you become 22, 23, and then you graduate from that school and you're super proud of that tradition and the school that you went to, and you have this vast alumni network that you can kind of lean on stuff, like, it becomes very important. Like, you know, me, you, and Eric still bleed Marist red. Like, we follow every game. We are heavily involved as alumni in what goes on there. You know, and I, like, it's, you care just as much when you leave as you do when you were there. You just can't suit up and go compete.
Before we close this one out, RPI went 19 and 14 in 1867.
Yeah, see, I had, this is a true story. I wish I still had it. I left it for Coach Falcon, but I had original posters from like 1884 where like RPI was playing Union. And I had another one from 1882 where RPI was playing Stevens in Hoboken. Like, could you imagine in 1884? Like, would they get in a horse and carriage and just drive down to Hoboken to play a game? Where they get on the Hudson River? Like, what I like, the just the logistics around that. Like, nowadays it's just like, we're just gonna jump on the bus and we're just gonna go down. Like, you either had to get on a train or you got on a boat and you ferried your butt down to Hoboken to play however many games you did
on the Hudson.
But it was like 25 cents to get in.
Take a ride at the Statue of Liberty. Right? In Hoboken.
Do you imagine? Like, it was wild to me. Like, oh my goodness. Like, but I had them hanging in my office. It was awesome. They're original.
Good little tidbit to end on here. Anything else you want to add?
Nope. Nailed it.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will check in with you next week. Talk to you then. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.